Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom greetings and welcome to Tamaya Deliverance Ministries Prophetic Call. I am Seer Pastor Siobhan Simmons, and today we will discuss gates. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for another opportunity to read, study, and discuss your words. I ask, God, that you will open our eye gates, that we will see your word clearly. I ask that you would open our ear gates, that we will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. And I ask this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Last time we discussed the difference between an intercessor and a prophetic intercessor. We said that all prophets, true prophets, are called to the prophetic, to be prophetic intercessors. In other words, the Bible tells us that we are to pray ye one for another. We're all to be intercessors. We're all to intercede on behalf of each other. But God, only God, can call prophetic intercessors. Today we're going to talk about the different gates. I want to start by talking about Lot's gate, the gate of Lot. And we find this in Genesis, the 19th chapter. Now, Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And when Abraham was told by God to leave his country and to leave his kin folks, or to speak, Lot went with him. And Lot represents a gate of compromise. We see in chapter 19, and we can start at the first verse, we find out that Lot position was to sit at the gate. Now, before I even go any further, I need to say that gates are openings. Gates are usually surrounded by a wall of some sort. And a gate will represent an entrance or exit. Certain things will come in and certain things will leave. And the gatekeeper, their job is to know what's coming in the city and what's leaving the city, or what there's to stop from coming into the city. So Lot's position was he was at the entrance of the gate to the city of Sodom. And he sat there and he heard everything that was going on in the city. He knew a whole lot. And so as gatekeepers, we are to be mindful as to what's coming in our area. We should always, the older folks used to say, always be on your post. Always be aware of what's coming in your direction. And so Lot was sitting at the gate when the two angels came, the two visitors, and immediately it said that he rose up to meet them, and then he bowed himself before them. He prostrated himself on the ground before them, and he knew the condition of the city because he was there since he left his uncle. He knew that the people were corrupt, and so he invited the two angels back to his house so that they would not stay in the city without a shelter. And even though the angels were persistent, eventually they went back with Lot. Now, why is Lot considered, the Lot gate considered a gate that's not godly? It's because it represents compromise. If we look further down in the chapter, we see that it was getting dark, and so the men of that city, both young and old, came out and they wanted to do lots of things that were not, that weren't godly to the visitors. But Lot intervened. He said that if you leave the visitors alone, I will give you my daughters. And you will find that starts in verse 5, Genesis 19 and 5, it says, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after himself. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Man, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now, Lot was doing the right thing by protecting the strangers that came into town. But on the same token, he compromised because he said, you can't have the strangers, but you can have my daughters. So he didn't stand his ground and say, you can't have the strangers, you can't have my daughters, you're going to do the right thing. He did not have within himself the integrity to stand firmly on the word of God. And it goes down into verse, further down in the chapter, where the men are saying, look, you came into our town, you know, and they kind of saw some godliness in him, because we don't find in the word where it said that Lot participated in any of the activities that were going on in Sodom. Also in 2 Peter 2 and 8, the word says that Lot was a righteous man. So there was some good in him, but he just compromised somewhat. So his desire to do the right thing was there. And if you look further down in the word, it said that he in the evenings would always go to the gate. He would always sit at that entrance. We can infer that he sat there because he knew that if he can get the visitors that are coming in to go to the house with him, because he knew the wickedness of that town, that, you know, even though he's in a town that's lawless, he can be that good person. And if we look in the beginning of Genesis, remember when Abraham was interceding on behalf of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said to the Lord, well, if you can find 50 people, will you spare them? And the Lord said yes, because his desire, his plan was to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of all the wickedness that he heard. So evidently in that city, there was some righteous people living in the midst of unrighteousness. So the gate, Lot's gate, represents compromise. If we go further down into the word, it says that even as he, the angels told Lot what was going to happen, and he says, do you have anybody here besides your wife and your daughters? Do you have son-in-laws? Do you have relatives? And so Lot goes to his son-in-law telling them what was going to happen, but they didn't believe. Evidently, there was something going on where Lot had not established a good integrity with everybody, with those that were close to him, because The ones that are close to you will know whether your yea is yea or your nay is nay, whether one minute you're hot and the next minute you're cold, whether you're walking with the Lord totally, or it depends on who's around, how you're going to walk. Are you going to be holy and righteous every day, or are you just going to be holy and righteous on Sunday? Are you just going to be holy and righteous when you think you came in contact with Christian or church folks? You've got to always walk in the integrity. You must always walk in holiness and righteousness. So Lot could not convince his son-in-laws that what he was saying was truth. And even as they were leaving the city, the wife looked back. She didn't want to leave what was there, even though they knew it was against the desire of the Lord. They were comfortable. And if we look further down in the scripture, and I'm not going to read all of it because 19 is lengthy, and just because of time, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase and just highlight some of the higher points, the points that I want to make. Even Lot leaving his uncle, he stayed in that city. He stayed among the things that were vexing his spirit. And he was hesitant. Even when the angel says it's time for you to leave, he wanted to leave, but he was comfortable. And sometimes when God is telling us to do things, we get so comfortable in doing the same thing over and over, we don't want to progress. We want to stay in our little comfort zone, and God is telling us sometimes it's time to move on. It's time to go deeper in me. It's time to get outside of the box. And so in his hesitation, he prolonged his departure. But eventually he left, and being in that city for as long as he was, what was going on affected his daughters, because as we read further into the 19th chapter of Genesis, they got their father intoxicated and had relations with him so that they can produce children. Another gate that we're going to look at, so the Lot gate represents compromise. The next gate we're going to look at is the gate of Mordecai. Now, Mordecai was a man who did not compromise. He represents integrity. He represents intercession. If we look at the book of Esther, Esther was his Mordecai's adopted daughter, and she eventually was bestowed into the king. The king made her his queen, and you find that Haman was a little vexed by what Mordecai would not do. Mordecai would not compromise his position. He would not bow down to any man. He would not honor and make a man an idol. And so he stood his ground. In chapter 2 of the book of Esther, we see that Mordecai is the gatekeeper of that city. And he's sitting at the gate, and he hears two people plotting to kill the king. Now, as the gatekeeper, not only did he put his words to action, because he told the queen what was happening, and she went and told her husband, the king, and found out that it was truth, and they were killed. So Haman decided that he wanted to kill all the Jews, and in verse chapter 5, we see that Mordecai finds out of Haman's plan, and Haman tricked the king into signing this law that the Jews will be killed for not obeying what Haman wanted them to obey. And so Mordecai rents his clothes and he starts to mourn and laminate loudly. And he sends words to Esther that she needs to go and talk to the king. And she in turn says to him that the king has not called for me in 30 days. And Mordecai says, well, just because you're in the palace does not mean that you are not a Jew and you will not be affected by what's going on. So at the gatekeeper, he was abreast as to what was going on, even though this happened inside the city. We must realize as gatekeepers, we got to be concerned not only with what's coming inside the city, but what is going on inside. And so once he found out what was going on inside the city, he had a plan. He yielded himself to God. He humbled himself, and so he interceded for all the people of the city. And so, to make a long story short, he was triumphant. Haman died. He was killed by his own hand, so to speak. When you dig a ditch for someone, you usually dig in that ditch for yourself. But what is the importance of the gates? And I wanted to just give you a kind of highlight of a couple of gates that since we were talking about prophetic intercession, that I thought would elaborate on what we spoke about last week, and especially when God was pressing upon me to do so. So what is the importance of the gates? As prophetic intercessors, we have the ability to open the gates and close the gates. We have, and some people use the word portal, but in order to do that, you've got to have the right relationship with the Lord. You've got to make sure that you have the right integrity like Mordecai. It was no doubt that even when he was facing opposition, he never wavered. He stood firm. He knew what the word of God was. He knew God was God, and he believed in God. As prophetic intercessors, there are times when our task may seem difficult, when we may get a burden placed upon us, and it seems like there is no way out, but we cannot waver. We got to remember that God has given us the authority to call those things the way he wants us to call it. He wants his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, we must use the authority that's within us to make sure that we're praying the heart and the will of God as prophetic intercessors. And we talked about this last week, that we have that breaker anointing to break those things that are keeping God's people captive. We can break loose the heavenlies. We can command the heavens, the gates to be closed and the heavens to open up. But in order to do that, you have got to be in the right standing with the Lord. You have got to have a spirit of excellence, a spirit of integrity. You have got to be not only honest, you've got to be faithful in the things that God is giving you to do. You can't be effective in your intercession if when you've got that yearning to pray or you feel a tugging that you put your agenda ahead of what God is trying to get you to do. You've got to have an effective prayer life. You've got to have a solid word life. You cannot read your Bible for 10 seconds and think that's it, or 10 minutes and that's the only word you've got in you. We all have busy schedules. There are 24 hours in a day. If we sleep 8 out of those hours, we've got plenty of hours left. And all God is wanting is a portion of time so that we can read, we can pray, we can study, we can get into that presence and know what it is He wants us to do. If we look around and see what's going on, there are lots of things to pray about. There are lots of things for us to intercede about. But we've got to make sure that our spirit is sensitive to the spirit of our Lord and Savior. We've got to make sure that we're walking in holiness. There is no other way. There's no way around it. We've got to get back to the basics. If we are to be effective, if we are to be the warriors that the Lord has called us to be, if we're that prophetic warrior, prophetic intercessor that God has called us to be, we need to be in our rightful place. We need to be at the gate that God has placed us at. We must be mindful and watchful as to the things that are coming in, those things that may try to leave, those things that are stirring within our city that God has given us. And when I say city, not so much talking about the physical, but I'm talking about the spiritual city, because God has given us to be gatekeepers over different things. Amen. And we just need to know where we are, where we're supposed to be, because you don't want to be at the wrong place at the wrong time thinking you're doing a good thing and you're ineffective because you're not where you're supposed to be. How do you get there? Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Get a fast life. Remember, God has a plan for us. And it's not to be selfish, because as intercessors, we're not praying for ourselves, but we're praying for the needs of others. We're praying for the need of individuals, situations, nations, whatever God has placed on our heart. A sister in of Christ that lives, a sister in Christ that lives in, I believe she's in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. She was telling me that God has placed a burden on her heart to pray for the leaders. And so she's always just, as the Lord is dropping leaders in her spirit, she's just praying faithfully and diligently for them. If you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. Because remember, the Spirit will make intercession for us. Jesus is our intercessor. And so when we don't know what to pray for, He does. I just want to remind you that it's so important to be in our rightful place. And the two gatekeepers, you want to be the gatekeeper like Mordecai and not the gatekeeper like Lot. You don't want to compromise. You want to stand firm on the word of the Lord, and you want to believe, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the more we hear the word, the more we read the word out loud to ourselves, the more we listen to the word on CD or tape, the more we listen to sound teaching, the more our faith will be built. Amen. If you desire prayer, you can email me at Seer, S-E-E-R, Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S, at hotmail.com, that's Seer Simmons, at hotmail.com, or you can call me at area code 843-830-9325. You can also text me at Pastor Chavonne, Chavonne, at T Tom M Mary O S and Orange dot Blackberry dot net. I pray this discussion has been a blessing to you. It's opened your eyes to some things. It's causing you to press in more to the Lord, to have an even closer relationship to Him, to know more of what's in His Word, because every time we open His book, which is the Bible, the more we read, the more we study, the more He reveals. Pray God's blessing upon you. Remember, God loves you. He's always with you. He'll never forsake you. And He is just a call away. God bless. Shalom.